The Holy Gospel according to John. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "He is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will have seen heaven opened and the angels of the God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I am the generation that lost the privileges to the game Red Rover. It ended with us. If it's still happening, it's probably not on the up and up. For those of you younger than I am, this is a simple game of where you stand in two lines facing each other and you say, Red Rover, send Brad right over. And you make Brad run across the field as fast as he can, and he tries to break through the arms either by holding hands or linking arms of people on the other side, right? And if Brad gets through those arms, then he gets to take somebody back to his original side, and if he doesn't, he gets absorbed into that side that called for him. Now, if they would break through, this was the goal, right? And if they didn't, then they would get stuck into this other team. And if you haven't played the game, then you may not understand the potential danger of this game, right? This seems rather nice and sweet, but add a little competition, right? I can see all the teachers are like, nope, hate this game, right? Because you know what happens when kids run full force with all of their competitive energy into the arms of other kids. What happens? Pain, right? Broken bones, broken wrists, right? Like fingers jabbed, right? All the things. Pain. It's not pretty. Now, when I was one of these children and not working as an emergency room employee, my understanding is that this game often ended with someone breaking an arm or a wrist, or at least causing enough harm that you teachers would say, "Enough, I'm done," and you'd send us back to our classrooms. Now, I'm also part of the generation that lost the privileges to musical chairs because we couldn't do that without harming each other. We also lost dodgeball, right? Because, again, caused a lot of harm, right? Now, as with most of my sermons, you may be wondering, where is she going with this, right? But I wanted to set up this visual of the back and forth of Red Rover, of inviting someone from one side to come to the other side with all their force, all their might, all their effort. And then it happens going in the other direction. Red Rover, send Donna right over, right? Last week we celebrated Epiphany, a time in our church year where we remember the gift of the Magi. The wise ones who are following the light of the Christ child, following the star in the sky, following the message to go and find this baby born of a mother so meek and so lowly. Now, we often see our nativity sets where Mary and Joseph are standing around the baby Jesus in some cute little straw, you know, food trough, right? That little kind of baby crib thing that he's in. Maybe some sheep and some shepherds, some other animals, depending on your setup. And then these three wise ones with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? They're standing around. Now, except that every time we hear the story of the wise ones, it always ends with them leaving. We always hear that when we hear the wise one's story. They don't stick around the nativity scene too long. They left. And specifically, they left a different road than the one they came to see baby Jesus. So they came to see this baby via the Kenai Spur and went home K Beach, right? They took a different way home. Red Rover, send the Magi right over. and off they went. But they went after having seen the Christ child, the prophecy fulfilled according to Moses, right? And having given them their gifts, they left. And then what? Now, the wise ones were originally sent by King Herod to find this baby that everyone was talking about, and then they were to report back to Herod about what they had seen and what they had learned about this one that people were calling the Savior. But they didn't. They didn't go back to Herod. They went a different way because they were changed by what they had experienced through being gathered around with Mary and Joseph and God Emmanuel. Now, we jump pretty quickly in our church year from this nativity scene with all those sheep and wise ones to Jesus' ministry and today's gospel reading, right? Remember, last week it was Val preaching about the Epiphany. How do we jump into Jesus is now calling people into ministry as a grown-up? We've missed a few years in Jesus' developmental stages, right? But we kind of condense all of Jesus' life into a year or so we can hit life, death, resurrection just in our calendar year. So this is the first story of Jesus' ministry that we hear in this gospel for our gathering this year, and it's essentially a game of Red Rover in the Galilee region. Jesus sprints across the field and pulls Philip into his line, and then Philip sprints across the field and pulls Nathanael into his line. Red Rover, send Nathanael right over. Except Nathanael doesn't go easily. Philip swears to his friend Nathanael, look, I found the one. Dude, this is the one we're waiting for. I got him, the one that we are looking for. And Nathanael's like, nah, brah, I'm not finding it. Or in biblical speak, Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Which is even shadier because he's insulting the entire town of Nazareth, suggesting they were somehow less than. Now, for a point of order, Philip was from Bethsaida, and Nathanael was from Cana, and Cana was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is not that big, right? Like, you can kind of see across the side. It's not huge. But these towns are all pretty close to each other. They're all around this sort of body of water. Like, I've walked from Nazareth to Cana in a day. It's not that far, realistically. So it would have been kind of that weird, subtle difference of when Soldotna people are like, Kenai people. And when both Kenai and Soldotna people are like, Nikiski, right? I know we have some Nikiski people and there's pride there, right? But it's that weird, like, you know, that kind of like weird local kind of shade that's happening when he's like, nothing good can come from Nazareth. It's like, nothing good can come from North Road. Now, Jesus and Nathanael have this ping pong conversation about how they know each other. And ultimately, Nathanael joins Jesus' team without breaking his arm. Now, in this season of Epiphany, in the early days of 2024, in the current social and political climate of our community, of our state, of our nation, and our world, there is no shortage of people, places, and things that are calling for us to come to their side, to run across the field, to sprint away from one team and join the other. There's no shortage of things calling out, follow me, or come and see. And it's how we show our allegiance, our support, by labeling ourselves and our property with stickers and magnets, with road signs, and even our clothing brands. It's how we feel like we belong if we follow the right things based on our social circles, our families, our belief systems. Red Rover, send her right over. Now, if you pick just one day in your life, take notice of all the things that you have your allegiance and loyalty to. Maybe it's your car brand, maybe your favorite coffee shop, maybe it's the type of tools that you use, maybe you have your PC that sits next to your iPhone because you're not fully committed to either one. You name it, we have brands and loyalties and preferences and claims to who we are and what we have. So how then do we know what invitation to follow is safe? Or when it will potentially break our arm, or worse? How do we know when the invitation is lit by a star, or it's to follow a tyrant leader? And the truth is, we don't always know. It's not that simple. But by using our lived experience, our own wisdom, the wisdom of those we trust, the people around us, the communities that we're a part of, the people on the team with us, we can come and see for ourselves. We can choose to cross the field, to go to the other side. We can choose to follow the star, but maybe take another way home. We can choose to spend time with this Jesus guy, this riffraff from Nazareth, following his teachings and love and kindness and care and compassion. Because after Jesus seems to get Philip and Nathanael on his side, on his team, he continues in his ministry. His first miracle, his first public act of doing something wildly mysterious and generous is to make the wedding feast festivities continue on, right? So our gospel reading, the next thing we hear from John is the wedding at Cana, where he turns water into wine, right? So the very next thing Jesus does after calling these guys to his team is to make this party last, to make the festivities and the celebration go on. So when in doubt, we can ask ourselves, who benefits from this? And in bringing more people into this ministry, Jesus wasn't personally benefiting in how much money he had or what kind of fancy donkey he rode, but he cared for people, for crowds of people. He fed thousands and thousands of people and nurtured people. That's who benefited. Jesus says, come and see. Jesus says, follow me. And we get to say, here I am. Thanks be to God. Amen.